reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. That's Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
So, my wife will tell you that I am really good at losing things. I'm almost professional, I think. So, if it's not my glasses, it's my car keys. If it's not my car keys, it's my house keys. Once I even left the car keys in the car, so then Judith couldn't find them and missed the service altogether. But certain things, certain lost things, really resonate with us, really make us feel very different. I get frustrated when I lose my car keys, but when you lose something important, it means a whole lot more to us. So to carry on from Kerry's theme of the slideshow she did, I've got some slides of things that either I've lost or been involved in losing. So, first one is my little doggy. I just used these to show some cute pictures to you. So, this is Dougal. Now, we went for a walk in the Lake District, and Dougal, most of the time, is pretty well behaved. He stays pretty close to us. But he was off the lead, and he just got a bit ahead of us, and we went over the top of the hill, and he was nowhere to be seen. Not that he'd just run off. He could not be seen. We did not know where our dog was. I felt terrible. Judith felt terrible. We felt like really bad doggy parents because we were having to tell everyone on the mountain that we'd lost our dog, and if they saw him, to point him back to us. We didn't know where he'd gone. I felt sick to the stomach. I couldn't work out how I would tell my son that we'd lost our dog. It was just awful. Eventually, and it was probably a half an hour, eventually we found him, hobbling, limping. He'd run off, he'd been chasing the sheep, we think. We didn't catch any, fortunately, and neither did they catch him, because he's only little. But we found him, and the relief that we felt was overwhelming. But we went through all the emotions at that point. We went through anger, we went through guilt, we went through relief. We hugged him lots and then put him back on a very, very short lead. He'd never done anything like that before. He'd always stayed close to us. But his nature was always to explore, and that's just what he did on this instance. Right, that's the first story. Second story, not quite such a cute photo. This is yours truly. This is yours truly when I was much more... less creased, shall we say. So one day, and this was a time before mobile phones, this is a time of three rings and all that sort of good stuff. This is a time when I went out to play. I took my bike and I went off with my friends, but I hadn't told my mum and dad where I was going. And I started to enjoy myself. I was away with my friends, and I was out for hours, much longer than I was supposed to be out. And my mum and dad didn't know where I was. And I realized eventually, and I came back as it was starting to go dark. This was in the summertime, so it was quite late. And boy, did I get into some trouble from my dad. I got so told off. He was so angry. But behind the anger, I could see the sheer relief in my parents' eyes. What I had put them through, what they must have been feeling. Okay, and then the third one. This is my son, much younger than he is now. He'd probably hate me showing this photo. He's now 20, but this was him as a little one with his favourite toy. His favourite toy was called Puppy Dog. Original, I know. But that's what his favourite toy was called. He slept with it. He stroked it. It gave him comfort. He chewed on its ears. It just was with him. It was inseparable. Him and he were inseparable. Well, until the day that we lost it. And he was inconsolable. And we felt so bad. We searched high and low. We thought he'd dropped it, so we went back to car parks. We went round all the shops in Winchester. I think we pretty much went round all the shops in Winchester looking for it. Had anyone handed it in? No sign. He wouldn't sleep. He was just so beside himself. No other toy would do. He had lots of toys, but this was the one he wanted. We tried to explain. We tried to find a substitute, but it didn't feel right to him. Nothing worked. We had a horrible, horrible 2 days. Before we found out that he'd actually hidden it inside another toy that he had. But then the relief for us and the joy for him were unmeasurable. So I would like you all just briefly to close your eyes. And just think about the time when you've lost something important to you. Maybe you lost a child, like Kerry said, in the supermarket. Or maybe as a child you got lost and that feeling when you suddenly realised you couldn't find your parents. Or maybe a time when you lost your favourite toy. How did it feel? How did you feel? Okay, so today's story is titled The Boy Jesus at the Temple. Well, it is in the Bible anyway. What a terrible title, The Boy Jesus at the Temple. Better title is Jesus' family lose him for 3 days. They lose him for 3 days. Well, 4 days, actually. They walked for a day and then they search for 3 days. And this is the only story we have in the Bible that talks about Jesus as a young boy. And I wonder whether we have this story all because of Mary. Whether this, more than anything, summed up young Jesus for her. The horror of realizing he was missing. The worry about looking and not knowing where to find him. And the relief when he was located and his explanation. I wonder if it's so deeply embedded in her. Then someone said, "What was Jesus like as a child?" She went, "Well, let me tell you." They had gone, like they did every year, to the temple in Jerusalem for the Passover. All good Jewish families would go up to the temple. This is a photo of the Passover now in the ruins of the temple. And it's busy enough here. But when the temple was standing, it was a really grand building and thousands upon thousands of people would go up to the festival and return. Now, Jesus wasn't a baby anymore. So he wasn't expected, like Sam, to hold Mummy's hand. But he wasn't an adult yet either. In that culture, you were an adult at 14, and we were told he was 12. So he would be in that, needing to be supervised, but could sort of mingle amongst all the family members. And like that Home Alone 2 clip, everyone else thought Jesus was with them. And he wasn't. How must they have felt? So after a day's travelling away from Jerusalem, they stopped for the night. And at that point, the realisation, that awful, horrible realisation, when they searched the travelling group and realised he wasn't there. Where was he? Have you seen him? Nowhere. Nowhere. So they did what all parents tell their children to do, and they retraced their last steps. Where did you last see him? Where did you last see him? So they went back to Jerusalem. But the story tells us they spent 3 whole days in Jerusalem searching for him. Imagine how that feels. Losing a child in a supermarket for 5 minutes is terrible enough. Imagine losing him for 3 days, not knowing if you're ever going to see him again. They must have been feeling increasingly desperate, increasingly helpless. And then, they find him in the temple. And so we're told when Mary finds him, she says, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, I'm sure this is Mary's recollection of what she said to him. And I'm sure she showed some level of restraint because she's in a temple after all. But I can't imagine she was quite as cold and reserved as that. I imagine there was lots of hugging, lots of tears. They'd found him. They didn't know where he was, but then they found him. But from Jesus' perspective, he had been where he was meant to be. "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus was special even then and had a unique connection with God, even as a child. He was listening and answering questions from the temple teachers, and they were amazed at his understanding and his questions. Now, obviously, we have the hindsight of having a whole Bible. We know that Jesus was unique and special. But the teachers did not, and so he stood out. However, the other important thing for this part of the story is to remember that Jesus was not a walking, talking Bible, fully formed, knowing everything. What he knew was God. Yes, but we're also told he continued growing and learning. So what does this story tell us? So maybe sometimes we feel that we can't find Jesus. He does not seem to be there for us. We can feel lost or alone or anxious. We don't know where necessarily to find him. But Jesus is constant. Jesus is true. And he tells us where we can find him. Firstly, in Matthew, he says, "And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end." Jesus' promise is that he will always be with us. We might not be able to feel him or find him, but he's always with us. And then we hear in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will eat with that person and they will eat with me." He promises that if we choose to have him come into our lives, he will come. And then also in John 14, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come and be with us. He says, "If you love me and obey my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another friend to help you and be with you forever. That friend is the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him. That's because the world does not see him or know him. But you know him. He lives with you and will be in you." Those are the promises that Jesus makes. We can't lose Jesus. Jesus is waiting for us. He didn't force his way into our lives, but he knocks and he waits. So the second thing is, God is seen in Jesus and in the Bible. We hear the stories of Jesus, and that shows us what God is like, because Jesus is God. We can't see God, but we can see the stories about Jesus, and we can know how Jesus lived and what Jesus' values were. Through that, we can learn about God. And throughout the whole of the Bible, in different ways, God is revealed to us in that. So if we ever feel lost, we can find a little more about God in the Bible. And lastly, we can all grow like Jesus. We are not supposed as Christians to be fully formed Bibles, walking around knowing everything. We are called to know Jesus. And we're called to grow more and more like him each day. So if you feel that you're inadequate as a Christian, if you feel that you're not good enough, that's not true. It's not true. Jesus is with us. Jesus asks us to invite him in. Jesus asks us to become more like him. But we should never put value on us for how well or badly we behave or how well or badly we know the Bible. Our value is in the grace of Jesus. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you that you can always be found, even when we feel like we've lost you. Help us to know you more each day. Amen.